Good morning, Life Christian Center. It is so good to be with you this beautiful Sunday morning. And we pray that you are experiencing at home what we were experiencing here in a way of just worship and the power of God's presence today as we declared his name above every name. So this morning, I want us to just continue in that atmosphere of worship. And let's just move right into the Word of God together this morning. Last week, we began exploring what being a true Christ follower really means. We discovered that being a Christian or a disciple, a Christ follower, is less of a defining term and more of a determined lifestyle. It doesn't matter what we say we believe if what we live before people doesn't match up. Amen? You see, we can't say that we believe in love and then go out into the world and act in hate. We can't say that we believe in unity and then act in disunity. We can't say that we believe in guarding our mouth and then let gossip drain from our lips all day long. We can't call ourselves Christians when we don't act like Christ. You see, are we perfect and without fault this morning? No, absolutely not. We may indeed fall, and we may from time to time make mistakes and miss the mark that God had set for us. But that being true, we should also never remain there in those moments. Instead, we should, as blood-bought, spirit-filled people of the living God, strive daily to put on the mind of Christ so that there is a consistent harmony between our beliefs and between our behaviors to the very best of our abilities. And then where our flesh will fail, where our human weaknesses will exist, then we allow the Holy Spirit to come and be that strength in our weakness and pick us up and make us more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" That was our core scripture last week because it defined what a true disciple is according to Jesus, all right? And it gives us the basic foundational and fundamental things that we need to do as his disciple, amen? So we know that Jesus, again, used that word disciple. And the word disciple that he used in Matthew chapter 16 and 24 describes someone who is a follower of Christ, who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. They learn the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. It denotes follow through to the point of life application. Again, it's not just simply knowing something about Jesus. It's not just simply knowing about his word, but it's knowing Christ intimately. It's knowing his word so intimately that we follow through, and that scripture then becomes our lifestyle, all right? We put those things into application every single day to, again, the very best of our ability. You see, it is being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word so that we don't become deceived in our Christian walk. As we continue down the path of being a true disciple this morning, we need to understand this, that a Christ follower positions themselves to learn. A Christ follower positions themselves to learn. I want to go with you this morning in the beginning portion of this sermon to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read the first two verses together this morning. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them." His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Those who wanted to learn from Jesus positioned themselves. They gathered around Christ. And in that moment, where they made the conscious effort and choice to gather and position themselves around him. What Christ did was he gave opportunity. And in that moment, those who positioned themselves around him took full advantage of that opportunity in that moment. And church, today we need to be willing to take advantage of every single one of those opportunities that comes our way. As we discovered last week, Christ followers fellowship with Christ. If there is no fellowship, there will be no followership. Let me say that again this morning. Christ followers fellowship with Christ. If there is no fellowship, there will be no followership. With that in mind this morning, where there is no investment of our time, there is no room for influence, as we discussed last week. Where there is no influence, there will be no impact. There will be no personal transformation or change within our lives. You see, if we never position ourselves to learn, we will never grow and mature in Christ the way that he has designed and orchestrated for us to do so. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Positioning ourselves to learn requires a few things, more things than we can go over this morning in this one moment. But there were two things that the Lord brought to my heart. One is a pre-positioning step, if you will, and the other is a post-positioning step. All right? So this morning, I want you to go with me to Ezra chapter 7 as we take a look at our pre-positioning step and read together verses 6, 9, and 10 in Ezra chapter 7. Beginning in verse 6, it says this. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the five books of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Verse 9, on the first of the first month, he started out from Babylon. On the first of the fifth month, he arrived in Jerusalem. Again, for upon him was the good hand of his God. Now we can read verse 6 and 9 and we can say, yes, that is exactly what I want. I want to be skilled in the books of the law that God has written. Or for us today, again, this far removed from where Ezra was, the entire or the complete word of God as we know it today. We can have that desire to know his word, to be skilled in his word. Again, we have that desire as I'm sure most do to have the favor of man as we see Ezra had the favor of the king. We desire to have the favor of God as we see in these two verses that Ezra had the favor of the Lord upon his life. We all want those things, but are we willing to do what is necessary to find ourselves in the position to receive those things today? Because if we look at verse 10, it goes on to say this, for Ezra had prepared and set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to inquire for it and of it, to require and yearn for it, and to do and to teach in Israel its statutes and its ordinances. You see, Ezra took a moment long before that he actually was ever skilled in the word of God, long before he had the favor of the king and the favor of God upon his life. He took a moment to prepare and set his heart to seek the Lord, and then not to just seek the Lord, but then to do what was gained in those moments of seeking, and then to take it beyond just doing for his own life. And he began to teach those things as God instructed to Israel. You see, what we want today is we want the blessings. We want the breakthrough. We want the favor of God, the favor of man. We want the empowerment and the anointing to be in operation and in action in our lives. We want that fresh understanding and revelation of his word. But are we willing to prepare our hearts to receive them? Are we willing to position ourselves in a place where we can then partake in them? Are we willing to do what is necessary pre to get what is post? You see, before we position ourselves to learn, we must first prepare and set our hearts. Preparing our hearts to learn from God means that we must take the time to set and establish and fix our heart on God's word. It means that we have to take the time to furnish for ourselves a moment to where God's word can come in and begin to influence and impact our heart. It means that we have to set a time aside to where we can be settled inside of God's word. Setting our hearts to learn from God means that we are seeking His word, and not just seeking it, but seeking it with diligent care. It means that at all times and in all things, we are first resorting to the word, and we are inquiring and requiring the word in our life. It is our foremost thing that we seek in way of again, instruction, revelation, guidance, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You see, when we set our hearts to learn from God, that means that we are studying, we are following, and we are practicing the word, seeking it with the intention, again, of application in our everyday lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15, a very familiar passage of scripture that just very much harmonizes with that thought this morning. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You see, as we prepare and set our hearts to learn, we are to study to be approved and accurate. All right? We are to study to be approved and to be accurate. And here that word approved means that we are not counterfeit or corrupted. It means that we are proven genuine as a servant of Christ. We're not a fraud. We're not a counterfeit. We're not a different version, but we are the legit, bona fide, genuine servant of Jesus Christ. And the word accurate means to dissect and expound correctly. And so for us, as that approved servant of Jesus Christ, as that genuine Christ follower or disciple, when we begin to dissect His word, dissecting means that we personally are handling God's word correctly in our own life. And then that word expounding means that as we teach that to others, we are teaching them God's word correctly, just as we are, again, handling it correctly for ourselves. Neither of those things can happen if we never first prepare and set our hearts to seek the Lord, to seek His word, and to learn and glean from Him in those moments. Again, Christ followers position themselves to learn. Let that get stuck in your heart and in your mind this morning. Christ followers position themselves to learn. So we know that our pre-positioning step is to prepare and set our hearts on the Lord and to seek His word. Now, let's take a look at our post-positioning step. And to do so, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, where we will find, again, another familiar passage of scripture and story within the word of God. Beginning in verse 38, it says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. All right. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me. Verse 41. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, there's a lot packed into that this morning, and I want to just come and highlight a few things that I believe the Lord led me to this week. You see, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. She had positioned herself to learn. Amen? You see, but more than that, she had given Jesus her undivided attention. Look at your neighbor and say, undivided attention. Excuse me. We must prepare and set our hearts to learn. But when we place ourselves in that position before God, in His word, we must also give God our undivided attention. In fact, the word listen here is translated to hear with attention. Amen? You see, her attention was focused entirely on the truth and revelation being poured out by Christ in that very moment. Her attention was completely undivided. She wasn't worried about Martha. She wasn't worried about anybody else in the room. She wasn't worried about what the government situation was. She wasn't worried about what the local government situation was. All she cared about in that moment was what Jesus Christ had to say. And so she gave him her undivided attention. As we see clearly represented within the structure and context of this passage of scripture this morning, that if we aren't positioned to learn with an undivided heart, willing to exclusively give God our complete attention, we will inevitably become distracted by the things that are around us. Let's go back to verse 40. Verse 40 says this, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." At a time when she could have been drawing close to Jesus and learning as those others in the room were doing, she instead was drawn away from that moment because she was overoccupied by things that were far less important than what was really going on. You see, does that mean that serving is unimportant? Not even for a moment. That is not what I'm saying this morning. We are, in fact, by God's word, called to serve. We are called to provide for others. We are called to be people of hospitality. But none of those things should ever keep us from a God-appointed divine moment of inspiration, instruction, and revelation. Can I say this morning, that if Jesus is in the house, set everything else aside and be a part of that divine moment, no matter what's going on, the rest doesn't matter, because in that moment, He is there and we are there, and we should be in His presence learning what He has for us in that moment. Amen. You see, in fact, Jesus says in verse 42, "But one thing is necessary." One thing is necessary. What Jesus was saying is, in short, this designated moment of time that I am providing, what I'm doing is I'm providing sustenance that you will need for right now and for your journey ahead. So take advantage of me supplying this needed edification in your life. What he's saying is, this moment is necessary. The other things surrounding this moment are not necessary. You see, when we aren't positioned to learn, when we are distracted, those distractions can lead us into other issues. And for example, here we see in verse 41, the Lord answered her and said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." He said, "You're anxious and you're troubled about many things." You see, anxiety represents being divided and drawn in opposite directions. Trouble represents being disturbed by all of the surrounding noise. Distraction can quickly turn from a few things into many things, causing us to miss out on what is really, in that moment, the most important thing. And how many times have we found that to be true? We begin to pray and all of the sudden we're distracted. We begin to worship and all of the sudden we're distracted. We begin to dive into God's word and all of the sudden we're distracted. You see, it's the anxiety of the moment. We're drawn in opposite directions. It's, again, the surrounding noise just seems to drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit leading us closer into the presence of God. You see, if we're not careful, we will be challenged with more than a few things. We'll begin to be challenged with many things if we allow our hearts to be divided in those moments. You see, I believe that is why it is so important for us to choose to position ourselves with undivided attention. Again, we need to position ourselves in those moments with undivided attention. Jesus said this. He said, "Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Preparing and setting our hearts this morning is a choice. Positioning ourselves to learn is a choice. Giving God our undivided attention is a choice this morning. You see, when Jesus said, Mary has chosen, what he was saying is this. She has made a deliberate choice from the preference of her own heart. I want us to hear that again this morning. What Jesus was saying was that she had made a deliberate choice from the preference of her own heart. Do we have that same mindset this morning? Do we have that same preference of heart to push in past all of the things that are unnecessary in those moments, to push past and to block out all of the extra noise and just simply position ourselves at his feet with undivided attention and begin to allow him to speak into our lives that life-changing transformation that we so desperately need from him? Mary gave her undivided attention from the preference of her heart. She chose the good portion. She positioned herself in front of Jesus to glean that which originated only from God, that which was empowered by God specifically for her life, and that moment being implanted into her life through that faith at work inside of her. You see, she positioned herself to receive God's assigned portion. I want us to get a hold of that this morning. She positioned herself to receive God's assigned portion. When we pray, God said, and part of how we need to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he said that we need to ask for our daily bread. In doing so, we have to then understand that God has an assigned portion for us every day. So let's not miss out on those moments, daily moments of assigned portion that he has to us. So let's make sure that we're approaching him, positioning ourselves to learn and to glean with undivided attention so that we don't miss our daily bread, so that we don't miss that God assigned portion for that moment. Amen. You see, for that determination of heart, for that dedication of attention, for that desire to learn, Jesus said this. He said that it will not be taken away from her. In short, she will not be removed from this position. How many knows that when we get pulled up to our Father's table, that he will never push us away, but that he will set before us that which we need to glean in that moment for strength, not only in that very present moment, but to give us strength and energy and sustenance for that which we are yet again to even walk down. Today, we need to understand the value of sitting at our Father's table and receiving his assigned portion for us. Will that be our choice and determination today? Only we can decide. I can preach. Others on our pastoral staff can preach. It doesn't really matter where the truth comes from. We have to make the choice and determination ourselves. You see, we have to make the choice to prepare and set our hearts like Ezra did. We have to make the choice to position ourselves as we see the disciples doing in Matthew chapter 5. We have to make the choice to give God our undivided attention like we see Mary doing here in this passage of scripture this morning as well. So let's make sure that we are following through to the point of life application as we stand more determined than ever to be a Christ follower who positions themselves to learn. Again, a Christ follower who positions themselves to learn. And we do that by preparing our hearts to encounter God. I hope that this morning you prepared your heart before you ever turned on an electronic device to watch this service from your home or wherever you may be this morning. I hope that tomorrow morning before you start your day, you find a time and a moment to prepare your heart before the Lord to encounter him and again, begin to receive your assigned portion for that day. We know that we also, again, aren't just to prepare our hearts, but we are also to give him our undivided attention. And in doing that, we know that when we begin to give him our undivided attention, we won't miss those encounter moments that he has planned. So are we going to be that Christ follower today who positions themselves to learn, prepares their heart, and gives God their undivided attention, so that we can receive what we need, not just for right now in this moment, but what we need for every day that lies ahead of us until we see him face to face in glory. Will we be that Christ follower this morning? Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you how it challenges us. God, how it causes us to grow when we allow it to be, God, placed inside of us, when we allow it to lead us and guide us. God, it brings us to a place of spiritual growth and maturity. God, it brings edification and encouragement and strength. And so, God, help us to be Christ followers who position ourselves to learn. God, help us to remain teachable. God, help us to remain pliable in your presence. God, that we would always prepare our hearts to encounter you. God, that we would always, Lord, set ourselves in a position of being undivided, Lord, and so that we can give you our undivided attention in those moments. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us and guide us each and every day, that, Lord, we would never miss out on a God-assigned portion that you have for us. God, regardless of how simple, God, or complex that revelation, that truth, that instruction, correction, conviction, God, whatever it may be in that moment, Lord, help us to have prepared for it. And God, help us to, in that moment, give you our undivided attention so that we can make sure that we're not missing the mark in those moments. Father, I thank you for your continued love and mercy in our lives. Father, I just pray that as we walk throughout this week and the weeks to come, Lord, that we would keep this very simple concept and principle, God, at the forefront of our hearts and minds. Lord, that those who truly follow you continually position themselves to learn. So God, help us to be teachable, we pray, in Christ's mighty name. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better time and moment than right now to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you have confessed him in days gone by and just haven't really truthfully been living for him like you know you should. You haven't been preparing your heart to encounter him, and you haven't been giving him your undivided attention. If that's you and you just want to rededicate your life to him today, I want you to just repeat this simple prayer after me this morning. God, I acknowledge my need for a Savior. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and now lives again. Forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. I accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I believe you raised him from the dead, and he is alive and now lives in me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to welcome you into or back into the family of God. And please know that we celebrate that with you this morning, as does all of heaven, according to the word of God today. And so if you have made that choice to follow him or rededicate your life to him today, please post that in our comments so that we can know and again understand and rejoice with you in that process today. Now this morning, I do want to say how grateful and thankful I am for this church body who continues to just give in way of tithe and offering. You all have been so amazing through this process, and I know that it hasn't been normal, but again, I thank you for giving, and because of that, we have been able to continue ministry and operations. And again, last week we were able to do just a free lunch to the community, and we're able to serve somewhere around 150 people with a nice hot barbecue plate lunch. And so thank you for continuing to do that. And this morning, I just want to take a moment and pray and give God thanks for those things and to give him thanks for what has been given and what will be given. So again, that we're surrendering that to him and giving him the honor and the glory for those things. So if you will, just pray with me again this morning.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all of those hearts and lives who have continued to faithfully give, Lord, into this local church body, Lord, which is just an extension of how we give into your kingdom. God, I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, to continue to tithe and give beyond their tithing. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would continue, Lord, to bless, Lord, those givers, God, each and every heart, each and every home. Father, we thank you for what has come in. We thank you for what has already been provided. But God, we thank you also for the provision that is yet to come. God, we thank you for the tithe that will come in. God, we thank you for the offering that will come in, knowing again, Lord, that we will use it for the betterment of your kingdom. God, for your glory, for your name. So Father, we pray that you would bless each giver, bless each home, bless each heart today. And Father, we thank you for it in Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen. We want to thank you for being with us again this Sunday morning. We pray that somehow through worship in the Word that your heart and life has been touched and changed and transformed by the power and the presence of God himself. We do ask that you would consider joining us this Wednesday in our Zoom classes. And we've been having just a great time going through our Sunday school material on Wednesday night in those Zoom moments. So again, look for that information via text and via Facebook and things of that nature so that you can join us. And again, we've got class for the children. We've got a class for our middle school and high school. And then we also have an adult class. So please come and let us have that moment of community and sharing together and allowing iron to sharpen iron. Amen. Again, thank you for being with us. We pray God's blessings upon you. And we look forward to seeing you Wednesday. Have a great week.